Last Sunday morning, as we looked at the overview of the book of Jeremiah, I gave you a history lesson, rather intensive history lesson, lots of dates and names and stuff. And it went so well that I want to do it again this morning, although it won't be quite as intense and it won't be quite as old. We only have to go back 45 years for this one, so there will be no dates with the letters B.C. in them. And it's more of a personal history. 1972, at this point in time of the year, I was a senior in high school. I was just a couple of months away from graduating. Later on that year, I would turn 18. And when I turned 18, I would be responsible to register with the Selective Service. Had to register for the draft. And it was something that I was not looking forward to doing, because in 1972, at least at the very beginning of it, the war in Vietnam was still going on. And I was not looking forward to the possibility of having to go off to war. To be quite honest, I was afraid. I didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I had no certainty of where I would be when I died. I knew that putting myself in a war situation would increase that probability of dying. And I was afraid. In fact, at that point in time, I believed in evolution because I found coursing through the veins of my body the blood of a chicken. But the time came, and I started filling out the Selective Service questionnaire, or whatever it was. And it came to the part where I could check off that I was a conscientious objector. And I remember sitting at my father's desk, filling this thing out, and pausing whether I wanted to check that box or not. The problem was, no one said I was conscientious and I didn't object. I could not, in good faith, check that box. And so I didn't. And I said, well, if I go, I go. But I was still afraid. At that point in time, the draft was based on a lottery system. They took the days of the year, and they put them basically in like a bingo thing where you pull the numbers out. They put the days of the year in there, and they would pull out a date. And if your birthday was on that date, then you were either at the top or the bottom of the list. In the 4 years previous to this, when they had done that, my birth date always came up in the upper 200s to 300s. The probability of me being drafted in those years was minimal. The first year that I was eligible to be drafted, would you like to guess where my birthday fell? Low 60s. I don't remember what it was. But had the draft been extended, I would have gone. Fortunately, that year, the beginning of the year, we pulled out of Vietnam. Now, I don't know if that's a fortunate thing or not, but that's fortunate for me. Consequently, the draft was ended, and I was never called up. The chicken blood was still coursing through my veins, but nonetheless, I didn't go. I say that for this reason this morning. We are looking this morning at the call of God upon Jeremiah's life. And I think he pretty much responded in the same way, at least initially, that I did with the draft into the military. I think he had some objections. I want you to know this morning that as I preach this, I understand, not just intellectually, but experientially, the fear that Jeremiah and anyone else might have in responding to the call of God on their lives for service. obviously, that I'm in vocational service today indicates that I have strained that chicken blood out of my system. There's now bacon running through there, but that's another story. If you will, turn in your Bibles this morning to Jeremiah chapter 1. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Historical background, quick, just review. Here, Jeremiah was the son of Hilkiah, who was a priest. Undoubtedly, Jeremiah expected, as he became of age, to enter the priesthood after his father. They were living in a town just outside of Jerusalem, where many priests live. It was a convenient place to live because of its closeness to the temple and work things. It was a comfortable place for him to live. He was aware of, you know, the culture and the settings and the way things were done. But here he is, and he's going along, and he's probably preparing to enter the priesthood. And God comes along, and if you will, verse 4 and 5, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. Now, we know, if we do a little bit of addition here, and I gave you this outline last week, or this timeline. In here, Jeremiah starts preaching in the 11th year of Josiah. That would be 629 B.C., all the way up to 526. There's 43 years of prophetic ministry. Undoubtedly, he lived a few years after the end of his ministry. Some speculate as many as five. So let's make that 48 years. If you take a normal time span of age, when Jeremiah is called here in these verses, he's probably in his late teens. You know, like a person who turns 18 and gets ready to be drafted militarily. That's the situation where he is. He is preparing to be a priest. God is calling him to be a prophet. He is comfortable with the settings because he's going to be in Jerusalem, near his hometown. And God says, I ordained you be a prophet unto the nations. You're not going to stay home. You're going to go off into foreign places. You're going to do a job that you weren't dreaming about. And he had some objections. Then said I, Ah, Lord God. The title of this morning's message is basically taken from those three words. And I translated it this way. Yeah, but. Meaning this. Okay, Lord, I understand you have the right to do whatever you want to do. That's the yeah. But, Lord, this is not what I was preparing for. That's the but. And don't we all do that? If I were to come to you this morning and say, God just told me he wants you to be a missionary in the inner jungles of Africa. I see Judy's lips going there. Yeah, but it's a normal reaction. How did Jeremiah overcome this fear? Well, let's look at it here. Let's, first of all, look at the call. If you will, go back here to verse 5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Three things about the call of God here. First, it's based on the perfect knowledge of God. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before Jeremiah ever even existed as a twinkle in the eye of his parents, God says, I knew you. We speak of the omniscience of God. Omni meaning all and science meaning knowledge. God is an all-knowing God. He not only knows everything that was and is and shall be. He not only knows everything that will happen, has happened, is happening, but also could happen. Not just the real, but the theoretical or the possible God knows. God knows everything. And guess what? God never says, oops, I made a mistake. Or, you know what? I got to write that one down so I don't forget the next time. I've learned a lot. Do you know God never learns anything? It's impossible for God to learn. He already knows everything. And when God calls into a vocational service or any type of service, whether it be a non-vocational service, God isn't making a mistake. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew you. I knew what was going to become of you, or I knew what you were going to do. And I didn't call you saying, well, we'll give it a shot. We'll see what happens. He knew. Secondly, the call was accomplished by the perfect work of God. Before I formed thee in the womb. Well, we can say that, well, that process was the physiological process of mom and dad and all the genetics and physiology and all those things that goes on. But God takes the credit for it. God says, in the very beginning of time, I so ordained it that these traits would be passed down through this line and through this line and would come together at this point and create you. Some of us look in the mirror and we say, wish I was taller. Some of us look in the mirror and we say, I wish I was shorter. Some of us look in the mirror and say, I wish I was thinner. You're waiting for me to go the opposite. None of us ever said that. Some of us look in the mirror and say, I wish I had less gray hair. Some of us look in the mirror and say, I wish I had hair. You knew it was coming, didn't you? Yeah. Do you realize that God created you with a specific height and weight and color of hair and color of eyes and personality and natural talents and abilities and gifts perfectly? Perfectly suited for His work. Before I formed thee, I knew you. Thirdly, it was determined by the perfect providence of God. And before thou camest out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I set thee apart and I ordained thee. I called thee to be a prophet unto the nations. Do you know that God not only created us and formed us physically, but He put us in a time and place of ministry? I often wonder what it would have been like to live a couple hundred years ago. So I went up to Roy and asked him. I'm on a roll today, aren't I? And, you know, to know the things of today and be able to take that back to a previous time in history, that'd be kind of interesting, wouldn't it be? But sometimes we rue, oh, I wish we had the good old days. If I could go back in time and life wouldn't be as chaotic as it is today, and it was so much simpler back then. You guys, one of these days, if the Lord gives us time, you're going to be saying that these are the good old days. But do you know God put us in a time and place that we would not be comfortable with or able to really accomplish if we lived at some other time in history. And God says to Jeremiah, I know you. I have known you. I know what's going to happen with you. I created you in a perfect way. And here's what I'm calling to you for you to do. And it will work. That's the call. But here's the objections. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Two objections. Number one, lack of ability. Number two, lack of experience. Lord, I can't speak. You see, if I was going into the priesthood, going into Dad's business, I wouldn't have to do much speaking. You know, I could come up and take the offerings and slay the animals and offer the blood on the altars and that type of thing. That doesn't require a whole lot of speaking. I could go in and I could burn the incense on the altar of incense, or I could light the candlesticks and we could have light and do all those things, and I could change the showbread on the table there. Those things don't require much speaking, and I'm not really gifted oratorically. But now you're calling me to a ministry where I have to speak. That's not my strong point. I was showing Roy and Jim this morning this book that I wrote. I sent out to my son Andrew to correct grammatically for me. I know I am not a grammarian, but I thought I had a decent grasp of English grammar that I could write. Now, when it comes to the rules of the use of commas and semicolons, I'm really weak on that stuff. But I knew subject-verb agreement and that type of thing. So I knew he was going to find a mistake here and a mistake there that I made. The manuscript is 69 pages long. Every single page had corrections, plural, on them. In fact, there was only one page that had just two corrections on it. It only had four lines on the page, but there were two corrections. I am not exaggerating one iota. The average page had at least 10 to 12 corrections on it. And I thought I had ability. That's a scary proposition. Jeremiah says, you know what, Lord? I don't have any ability along those lines. Not only that, I don't have any experience. You see, I've grown up in a priest family. Dad came home from work and told me what went on in the temple that day, and I know what to expect. I know there's going to be some things that will be new to me, but I have a general background in these things. I don't have any experience and being a prophet. How in the world is that going to work? Yeah, but... And then the Lord comes along. Verse 7. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Here's the Lord's response. First of all, ability is not required. Reliability. See, I don't have some speaking skills either. Reliability is. Jeremiah, don't worry about what you can do or can't do. Don't say you're a child. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee. You don't have to come up with what to say. I'm going to tell you what to say. You just do it. If I can depend on you to consistently, faithfully, reliably repeat what I've told you, you'll accomplish the task. I had a very graphic illustration of the difference between reliability and ability yesterday. Yesterday we went to see Westmoreland Community College basketball versus Beaver County Community College. we went to the game, not because I had really any interest in the game, but our son Andrew was reffing the game. So I went to watch the refs. Beaver County had a fellow on their team that was at least 6'6", if not 6'8" tall. Big guy. And not only big this way, big guy. He filled out his frame wonderfully. He wasn't fat, he was just a big guy. He towered over everybody else. Westmoreland County had a fellow on their team that was no bigger than 5'6", and I'm not too sure he was that. He was at least 1 foot shorter than the big guy, and at least 150 pounds less in weight. Well, during the game, shot went up, and the big guy and the little guy were both under the basket. The shot missed. Guess who got the rebound? Big guy just stood there like this. Literally stood there. Didn't even jump. Little guy going like this. And he came up to his elbow. Big guy pulls down the rebound, turns, dribbles. Two dribbles. The little guy runs right around him, steals the ball. The big guy had the ability. The little guy had the reliability. You see, the big guy wasn't supposed to be dribbling the ball. That's not his job. You pass it to the guard who has dribbling abilities. The little guy, he couldn't measure up for the rebound, but he could scoot around, and he did that. Consequently, Westmoreland County scored. Reliability is what God is looking for. Jeremiah, don't worry about what to say. I'll give you the words. Secondly, experience is not required. Availability is. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to confound thee, to upset thee, to cause a disaster in your life. Oh, wait a minute. To deliver thee. Now that implies something. If you're going to be delivered, it means you have to be in a place where you're going to have some trials or tribulations. A place where you don't know what you're going to do, that you don't have an answer to. But Jeremiah, don't worry about that. I'm with thee. I'll be there for you. I'll pull you out. I will make this work. But if you're not where I am, nothing's going to be accomplished. Well, that requires some provision. Verse 9. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Now, this is anthropomorphic language. Anthropos literally means man. Morphe is to change. It's language that has been changed into the expressions of a man. God, being a spirit, does not have flesh and bones. He does not have a hand. But they're using language here to communicate what a man can understand. So, excuse me, what the Lord is saying is, I've put my words into your mouth. Here it is. I'm telling you everything that you will need to know. You just speak the words. Boy, don't you wish we had that ability today? Huh? Say it. We do. It's right here. In fact, we have a whole lot more than Jeremiah had. Well, what do we need to do? Speak it. Just like Jeremiah did. I put thy words in thy mouth. I've given you my word. Then look at this, and I'm going to purposely misread this. See, I have this day set thee among the nations and among the kingdoms. over. What's he talking about here? Come on, thing. Work. There it is. Authority. You speak my word, and you will have authority. Because why? I am the sovereign of all the world. Remember that thing from Isaiah that I quoted a week or so ago? My word will not return unto me void, but it will accomplish all that I set it out to do. You will have authority. In the Great Commission, the Lord Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me. And then what does he do? He says to the apostles, I'm giving it to you. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel. See, I have set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. You're going to go in there and there's going to be a lot of things that you're going to object to. And remember in our history last week, we talked about the idolatry of the land and the sacrifices and stuff that were going on, the pagan altars. And he pulled those things down. He destroyed those things. But not only did he do that, once they were down, he planted the Word of God to build up and make the nation, during the times of Josiah, a nation of revival. And the fear was overcome. Well, how did the fear be overcome? Did it just happen? I suggest to you the key is in the very first two words of verse 10. See I. Jeremiah, instead of looking at yourself, I don't have ability, I don't have experience, what do you see in me? Do you see a God who has perfect knowledge? Do you see a God who works perfectly? Do you see a God who extends authority over all the earth? Who is in control of what's going on? Who's working out His perfect will? Who's never made a mistake? Who has never said, oops! What do you see? And when you see a God like that, the fear disappears. And Jeremiah went off and served his Lord for 43 years. Most of them in terrible times. It's a scary thing when God calls you to do something. At least it should be. If you walk into this and say, it's a piece of cake, I don't think you understand what God is calling you to do. But if you walk into it and say, this is going to be difficult, but by the Lord's grace, I can accomplish it, you'll get it done. And the fear will be gone. No more, buts. Just, yes, Lord. Let's pray. Father, remove the spiritually chicken blood from our veins, that we might be courageous to do the will of God. For the glory of God, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.